So Pastor Jim Sanders was Wade and Jamie's pastor at Freedom Baptist Church in Nutter Fort for several years. And so they maintain a relationship, and he's going to come and share the word with us today. His wife's name is Nancy.
Hi. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate that. I always travel with my own bottle because that way I know what I'm drinking. And you probably heard back in the olden times down in eastern Kentucky and southern West Virginia and all those, the old-time evangelist would often carry a bottle, but it had white lightning in it. They would go get him a drink, get him worked up, you know, and that's the truth. But this is not white lightning, it's just water. As Marcus said, I've known Wade for several years now. He and Jamie, was his pastor at Freedom Baptist there in Nutter Fort. I was there for 24 years, and then I retired in 2018 from pastoral ministry, and I'm doing now supply work all over the state. A lot of these little churches, we were commenting on the way over, I'd love to be able to do a count of all the churches around that only has 20 and below members, people attending. It's sad that we've been in a lot of churches that used to be very vibrant and now have fallen away for whatever reason. But that's my heart, is to help them, is to go. We don't care where it's at, who it is. Size doesn't matter to me. I can preach to a mouse in the church if I have to. You know, I don't worry about how many's going to be there and all that. That's never been my issue. Numbers is not that important in that regard. Numbers are important as they relate to the people. But Wade and Jamie was there. We served together for several years. Went on mission trips together. Did all kind of Wade and Jamie and the kids. At that time, the kids weren't very big. They were just small like Jordan and Wesley. So they're all grown up and out on their own. And glad to see Wade God used. And I know his eyesight was really a hindrance there for a while. So thankful that he was able to find help with that. Wade loves the Lord. He loves God's word. And he loves his church. And you can't ask for better than that in a pastor. And I know you lift him up in prayer. And I appreciate that so very much. And it's nice to see that he's engaged here in the Lord's work. Here in Philippi in this church and doing what God is calling to do. We ordained Wade out of Freedom years ago. I remember doing his ordination service, but I don't take credit for anything now. He's Wade, and he's a little bit probably more animated than I'm going to be this morning. You know, when you get old, you don't move around as good as you used to and stuff. So I kind of like to stick close to the pulpit in case I need to hold on or whatever, you know, but anyway, I'm glad to see that this church is alive and God's working, and Wade and Jamie are part of it here, and we're praying for you. And I only come to do one thing, and that is preach the gospel. I've never claimed to be a great preacher, but I pray that I can preach a great God. And, you know, that's the heart, desire of my heart. Saying all that, do I need to say anything else, honey? You know, I'm getting to that stage of life where sometimes it takes two minds. That's why the Bible says two shall become one, by the way. Because you need each other when you get a little older just to keep up on things. But anyway, that's what we hope to accomplish here today. And if you want a message title, I simply put it down this way. We must remember these things. And I'm going to be three things we must remember today, church, because of the culture right now was raw. I mean, it's so raw out there right now, and people are wondering and worrying and looking and searching, you know, what's this all about? And we as a church have the answer to that, by the way. And I want us to think three things today. I want us to remember our master, his message, and his mission. Because those are the three things that will define any church. I don't care where it's at. You got to know the master, you got to understand the message, and you got to be willing to do the mission. That is, fulfill his kingdom purpose. You're not going to do that, don't claim to be a church. I'm just that blunt anymore. You know, when you get old, you can just get crotchety and say stuff, and, you know, just move on. And you know. But I believe that with all my heart. I believe that ever since I've been in the ministry, that if we're not doing these things as a church, don't call ourselves a church. Let's just call ourselves a gathering of people who like to get together, you know, maybe sing some songs or whatever. But we got to. It's critical, the times in which we're living. There's so much going on right now. People need hope. They need answers. They need to be saved. And we as the church, God has given us this glorious mission and this glorious message and given us a glorious master. And so I hope that I can convey that properly. I'm going to be in Isaiah chapter 12 if you want to go there. Isaiah chapter 12. Then I'm going to use one verse to launch, kind of be a launch verse in Philippians 1:21. I didn't pick Philippians because I'm in Philippi today. It's Paul, you know, Paul gave that one verse. That's the philosophy, his ministry, his life. And we could live by that one verse and build our whole lives around it. So I hope we can get that today. So Isaiah chapter 12, this was during the time when Israel had gone through some difficulties of their own doing for the most part. Jeremiah chapter 2 says the reason they was in this condition because they had forsaken the Lord, forgot Him, and had built cisterns, broken cisterns that did not hold water. That is, they were trying to build a life that was not accomplishing thing, a life that was empty, a life that was not really worth having. And so now God, through Isaiah, said that one day they would return back to Jerusalem out of captivity and be restored and renewed. And this was the words that they were to say. It's really a Thanksgiving song, so to speak. But I find in this the elements that I want to share with us today that I think not only was it for Isaiah's day as he kind of glanced ahead a little bit, but he also glanced into our time. It's a prophetic word. It talks about the Messiah. And so not only would it have application for the children of Israel at that period of time when God would release them to go back to Jerusalem, but also for our day. It teaches us about what is important for us as the children of God. And they were the children of God. Israel was at that certain time. They were His chosen ones. And so this is His word to them and for them. And I think it reaches into our day as well. So let's just start verse 1. I'm reading from King James. I just stay with that. And in that day they shall say, O Lord, I will praise Thee. Though Thou wast angry with me, Thine anger is turned away, and Thou comfortest me. Now, that is a prophetic look to the Messiah. You see, who did God put His anger upon for us, that He can no longer be angry with us? Jesus. We just sang that song. It's amazing, isn't it? So this still had a futuristic word, though it was applying to them in their time. Now look, verse 2, Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. God's people need to go up every day and get a good drink out of that well. The well of salvation, the well of hope. The well of joy. We need that, don't we? I need it. I don't know about you, but I need that for my life every day. In verse 4, and he says, In that day shall you say, Praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His doings, and that word doings means deeds among the people. Make mention that His name is exalted. Christ has done something for us we need to let everyone in this world know about. Amen? The cross and the resurrection. The message of hope, of salvation. Then he says, Verse 5, Sing unto the Lord, for He has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. That's the mission part there. First part was talking about, you know, call upon Him, praise the Lord, our Master. Then he says, declare His doings, the message. Now he says there, Sing unto the Lord, for He has done excellent things. That is known in all the earth. Who is to go into the world? Huh? Government? No, Christians, the church. And that's what he's talking about. We need to do. We can gain some understanding from this. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Isn't that wonderful? God is in the midst of our lives today. As I told Mark and I heard him mention, you know, I've been going to several churches around, and a lot of them I have on their marquee out front or in their bulletin and stuff. You know, God is in control. He is. He's sovereign Lord of the universe. God's going to have His way, folks. May not seem that way right now. We may not understand Him. God's going to have His way because here's why. God already has everything in place. Now, if we believe that, we've got to trust Him. Amen? We've got to show the world that we really trust our God. So let's look into this message then about remembering these three things. And I want us to really think about this. there's some things in life we can afford to forget, right? It's not going to really have major ramifications, not going to really upset the world, you know, not going to cause disasters or anything. We can forget. You know, I can get up in the morning and forget my cup of coffee. Well, you know, that's not going to matter that much. We can forget a lot of things. Doesn't really matter. But there's some things, you know, that we shouldn't forget. I bet some of you have forgotten. Have you ever forgotten a birthday? Men, have you ever forgotten an anniversary? Don't want to do that too often now, because that can have some ramifications. But we can forget certain things in life, and we do. I forget. You know, and the old thing always, you know, the older you get, the more you forget. You know, well, I don't know if that's true or not. I just think sometimes we get so busy and stressed out, our minds are full of stuff that we can't crowd anything more in there, and we just slips out and we forget. And that's what I was thinking about here. These things I'm talking about today, we cannot afford to forget. They're too important. I mean, these things are a matter of life and death. And I hope that I can convey that. The Apostle Paul understood this when he said in Philippians 1:21, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Paul had built his life around that. Shouldn't we build our lives around that too? Shouldn't Christ be everything? If Jesus means anything to us, he should be everything to us. Amen? I mean, Paul structured his life around that. For me to live, Paul said, is Christ. Now if I have to die, I haven't lost anything. I've gained it all. And here in Isaiah, you know, kind of echoes into our day that he says, remember me in that day. Remember our master. Remember my message. Make it known to the world. My deeds, what I am doing, what I have done. And to go out and make sure it's done in the whole world. We can't stop as a church, as Christians, until God sends Christ back. As long as there's one lost person in this world, we have a mission, don't we? To reach them with the gospel. Let me ask you, do this. Who's going to be your one this year? I'm not talking about 20 or 30, because that's intimidating. That's overwhelming. But who will be your one? The one that God will put in your heart that you'll make sure you go to and share Jesus with them. One! Can you imagine if every person in this building today would reach one person, double the attendance? That's amazing, isn't it? God doesn't work by addition. He works by multiplication. You know, he wants us to make disciples. So let's look at this, because Paul understood the importance of these three things. And I want us to think about it as well. Let's think about our master. Our master. Isaiah told the children of Israel that they were to what? Remember their God, their master. O Lord, I will praise thee. No one else. They'd been in trouble because of that. They'd forgotten that. They'd gotten away from who owned them, who was the master of their lives, who was their God, their Lord. And it cost them greatly. We need to give thanks to him, Isaiah says. Make him known, proclaim, so he is exalted, lifted up in our lives. Sing praises, he says. Tell how awesome he is. You know, God's awesome, isn't he? Christ is an awesome master. We need to let the world know that. A master is one who has authority over others. A master is one who has ownership. Did you know when you become a Christian, you no longer belong to yourself? You've been bought with a price. We need to forfeit everything in our lives and turn it over to Jesus. He has the authority over my life. See, that's what's happening in our world right now. I'm sure you've picked up on it. Nobody wants authority. And they're trying to do away with all authority, even God's authority, so they can run rampant and do as they please. But our master, he owns me, he has authority over me, and he controls me. I should live for him. We need to remember, as Isaiah said and as Paul said, he is the master. We're not the master. We make it seem that way sometimes, don't we? You know something? We're not the point. He is. We're not the point of our lives. He is our master. But don't we often act contrary to that, though? We act as if we're in control. I'm going to do what I want to do, go where I want to go, get what I want. Sometimes we are like Israel. We forsake him without even knowing it. He is the master. He's to determine the life course for me, right? I shouldn't try to map out my life course. I look to him for that. He has a purpose, doesn't he? And he'll show us our life course if we will ask him. He will show us the way. He has to be our master. You see, it wasn't enough for the Apostle Paul just to know him in name. He wanted to know him in person. How many people sit in churches all across this world today that will know the name of Jesus, but they have no idea who the person of Jesus Christ is? So Paul says, he has to be my master for me to live as Christ. Paul said, he's everything to me. Isaiah said, proclaim him. Lift up his name. Let the world know how awesome your God is. Our master. That was his consuming desire, the Apostle Paul. Remember, after his conversion, Paul was a changed man, wasn't he? You all know Paul's story before he was a Christian. He was a Pharisee. He was the top Jew. You know, he's the big dog. He was the up-and-coming guy. He was the one everyone was looking to as a Jewish person. There's the guy. He's going to be the one. And Paul was thinking he was doing the work of the Lord. He thought his work was righteous, that he was persecuting Christians and killing, putting them in jail. But one day something happened to Paul, and I hope the same thing has happened to you. Paul met Jesus, and he was saved. And he was never the same person, was he? Can you imagine the radical shift in Paul's life that moment when he went from being his own master to experiencing the master, his Savior, his Redeemer, his God? Paul had had that experience of meeting the Lord Jesus in that moment. I really believe he did. From that moment on, Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now, Paul said a mouthful there, didn't he? Because he had a lot of stuff before he had met Jesus. Now, he had it and he was getting a lot of stuff. But what did he say in Philippians 3 when he said, I look back now, I often wondered if the Apostle Paul, in that moment of his conversion, if he didn't just stop and look at his hands and look around and then kind of glance over his back and say, wow, I thought I had so much, but what I thought I had is nothing but a pile of manure now. That was Paul's conclusion. He met the master. His life was never the same. You can't be the same person if Christ is your master. You can't live two lives. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, you cannot... I know this thing's bouncing around. Let me move it up. I know that's annoying. It's annoying to me. Matthew 6:24, Jesus said you cannot have two masters, right? You'll serve one over the other. You'll like one, you'll not like the other. Folks, we got to get... Listen, church, we got to wake up. We got to have a revival in our lives about who the master is. And quit just talking as if he's there, but really know that he's in our lives. Make him everything in our lives. As Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Is that the desire of your heart today? Boy, it was the Apostle Paul. He couldn't get away from that. Paul said, there's nothing worth in my life now compared to what I have in Christ Jesus. Paul said, if I die, I haven't lost a thing. I've gained it all. That's a mouthful, isn't it? To be able to say, you know, when I met Jesus, what I thought I had is nothing compared to what I now have in Christ. And even one day when he comes back or I go home by death, he's going to, you know, take me in the glory and I'll never even remember anything that I thought I may have lost. I wonder if he stopped there and just thought about it. From that moment forth on the road to Damascus, Paul said, I'm no longer the point. Jesus is. He's the point. He's the reason I'm now alive and I'm living. Oh, how we need to remember this day. So easy to forget that sometimes, though, isn't it? I have a trouble sometimes. I forget that too quickly. You know, I get busy or I start thinking or I get down in the mouth, you know, whatever it might be. And all of a sudden, you know, I realize, hey, I've kind of neglected my walk with the Lord Jesus. Happens, doesn't it? It happens fast. It happens quick. That's why every day you and I need to get up and remember who our master is. Never, never, ever forget that. Paul's life pursuit had changed the moment he met Jesus. Our life's pursuit should change as well. We should not live for stuff. We should live for him. He's promised me if I'll follow him, he'll take care of me. I believe that with all my heart, don't you? You know, Mark mentioned the hairs on your head and the birds in the sky and all that. That's what Jesus said, you know, seek ye first my kingdom, my righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He said, I'll take care of everything. I don't know whether we believe that enough or not today as Christians as a church, but I really believe that should be the way it is. If that's what he means, and he always means what he says, then we should know what it is to trust him. So many are just content as Christians to know they're going to heaven, and that's all. That's sad. That's just one minute part of who Jesus Christ is. We should want to know as much about him as we possibly can in the time God has given us. That's what Paul wanted. Paul says, I desire, even in Philippians 3, 10 through 11, Paul said this. He says, he gave me a gift. I didn't gain righteousness on my own. It was a gift of grace God gave to me. He says, now I have a righteousness that is unbelievable. I didn't earn, I don't deserve, but he gave it to me as a gift out of his grace. There in verse 10 of Philippians 3, he says, I want to know him. Paul says, I want to know. No, I really want to know him. How much of Jesus do you really think you know? We'll never know him all in this side of glory. Not until we get to heaven will we fully know who he is. Because there's so much of him, right? You know? So much more of Christ. Don't ever get to a place in your life where you're content and say, I've got all I need, I'm going to glory, and that's all I care about. Don't ever let that happen to you. Because there's so much more of the Master you and I can know and we need to know. You see, if we stop pursuing our understanding of Jesus Christ, we can dry up spiritually. You know what happens when a Christian loses their first love or they grow lukewarm? We no longer are effective in life, living. Oh, we'll stumble through, but we won't be effective in our living every day. God wants to fill our lives up full of his kingdom stuff if we're letting. But sometimes we're too foolish, aren't we? We chase after other stuff. Paul said, listen, folks, let me tell you, Paul says, I had it all, I thought, until I met Jesus, the master of my life now. And I realized what I had nothing compared to what I now have in Christ Jesus. Isn't it wonderful that he can be our master? Not only that he can be, that he wants to be. Do you know he loves you more than you love yourself? He loves you more than anyone else in this world will love you. He'll bring you satisfaction in life that nothing else or no one else can. He'll fill you up with good stuff that you can't get anywhere else. He's the master and he'll take care of us. Don't just get along, do enough to get by. Don't be one of those Christians. Hunger and thirst daily for his righteousness. Never be content just knowing a little bit about him, but desire to know as much as you can in the space of time God has given you. We only have a small portion of time, don't we? The older you get, the more you realize how quickly that time goes. And so we need to take advantage of it now. We got to be like JB. You know who JB was in the Bible, right? John the Baptist. JB, right? John, isn't that John, JB? Did you know what he said about this matter of Jesus? He says, it's got to be more of thee, Jesus, and less of me. JB got it. Christ was his master, and he wanted to know more about him than he ever could in this life. Today, the world knows to see who is our master. Our master should be the master of our emotions. Right? Okay, some of you agree. I always told Church Freedom, Wade, I don't know if he's ever done this or not, but this means yes, this means no, and this means maybe. So, yeah. But he needs to be the master of our emotions. He needs to be the master of our money. How much of God's money is being wasted on the world? Stuff that's going to drop and blow away and burn up one day. He needs to be the master of our marriages. Is he really the master of your marriage? He needs to be the master of your families, of your parenting. Everything we do in life, Christ needs to be the master of our desires, our dreams, everything about us. That's what Paul would say, for me to live is Christ. Whatever he has for me, that's what Paul says I want. I want to be like Jesus in every way I possibly can, no matter what it is. We are living in a very hostile world right now. And if we're going to survive and thrive and be effective and fruitful as a believer, as a church, we got to make sure we know who our master is and give control of our lives over to him. We need to really get to know him. Now, they say back in the biblical times when there was a teacher, that he would often gain a group of followers, his disciples. They didn't have stuff back in those days. You know, you can't pick your phone up back then and get a message on it. You know, they had to literally walk with that teacher in order to be taught and to hear what he had to say and learn from him. And they were so eager to do that that it said that they would walk so closely to their teacher so they wouldn't miss out on any word, that often the dust from his sandals would get upon their robes. Folks, you know what? We need to get some Jesus dust on us. Need to let the world know who our master is and make sure that we're following him. You see, we go forth in this world today with our master. He says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me, Paul said. Is that true? How are you going to get through this life? In your own strength? Good luck with that. But he says, as your master, I can give you strength to deal with anything. And I'm sure some of you have dealt with some of those anythings, and maybe you're dealing with them now. Let me just encourage you. You have a master. Look to him and trust him. You know, we need to quit acting like we just got over a hookworm treatment, you know, as Christians, as a church. I mean, you know, listen, if he's our master, we should let the world know it. They should see Christ in us. Well, let me move on so we don't run out of time. I don't know, is there is a clock back here. 2 o'clock, okay? Wade probably remembers those days. But, you know, when he is our master, that's when we really begin to experience the riches and the resources of the kingdom, isn't it? I mean, you can't go wrong in following Jesus, and you can't do any better than following Christ Jesus. Well, the deeper you grow in your relationship with your master, guess what begins to happen? You'll understand more the importance of his message. Do you know that? That's why I believe a lot of Christians, now I know this may sound harsh, and if it is, too bad. But think about this. We're to be proclaimers of that message. But why aren't we proclaiming it? And for people to say, I love Jesus, and they're not telling other people about Jesus, there's something wrong in that. I don't know what it is, but something's just not right. Because if you say you love him that much, guess what? It's going to flow out of you naturally, that love of Christ, and let others hear about it and show it. So let's talk about the message. That's what Isaiah was saying back here. He says what? I'll trust in the Lord, and I'll not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength, my song. He has become what? My salvation. What a wonderful message salvation is, correct? Aren't you glad someone shared salvation with you one day, that you were able to understand that through the help of the Holy Spirit? Therefore, with joy shall you drink out of the wells of salvation. Now, let me just say this. If the salvation of Jesus Christ is the song of your heart, you need to be singing it. Amen? Don't hum it to yourself, but sing it so others can hear it. Because the message is so important, the gospel. Listen, a person can go through their whole life rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ and die and perish. Everything they had at the moment of death will be gone. They'll have nothing left. They'll have nothing to look forward to but torment. But you know, I think maybe almost as sad as that is for a Christian to live their whole life, go through their whole life, and never share the gospel with anyone. That's a tragedy. You know, one of the greatest sins of the church today is the sin of silence. We're sitting around saying, well, we hope they come. Oh, they all need Jesus out there really bad. Here we sit saying that, but God said we're to do something about it. And I'll talk about that here in a moment. Is our mission. The gospel. Isaiah said we are to tell others the deeds of the Lord. What God has done, tell them, Isaiah said. His great and mighty deeds. sometimes we think, you know, others are to do that rather than ourselves. You don't pay Wade to do that for you. Wade is a pastor. God has just gifted him in a different way. But every Christian is to be a witness. And listen, not only are you to be a witness, but you are to witness. Because as a witness, you are a witness. And how you live and how you speak is going to be a witness, right? And so that's what we're called to do. I think about this. We cannot forget the message today, folks, the importance of the message. It's a life and death message. Did you know that? The gospel of Jesus Christ, the message of salvation, is more important than anything we could ever say or anything we could ever hear. It's that important because it has eternal consequences. We got to get back to understanding the gospel, folks, the message of salvation, and proclaim it because it is the only life-changing message I know about. It's the only message that can take a person from death to life, out of darkness to light. From being old to making them brand new. That's the message we're to proclaim. We cannot forget how important the message is. We must remember, Paul refused to forget that, didn't he? He says, I'm determined not to know anything but what? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul said, the one thing I'm going to know above everything else, I'm going to remember above all else in my life, is to know that Jesus Christ and His message of salvation. Paul said in Romans 1:16, he said it this way, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Did you hear me? It's not just mere words, it's the power of God. That's what the message is. It's the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the message of Jesus Christ's substitutionary sacrifice on the cross. Did He die there on the cross? Yes, He did. Who did He die for? All of us. He stood in our place, didn't He? He took the judgment of my sin and your sin, 1 Peter 2 tells us. He took the judgment upon His own self. I should have been there in that place. You should have been there in that place. We should have been bearing the judgment of our own sin. But guess what? He stood there for us. Because of us, for us. And He took the judgment of our sin, not His sin, our sin upon His own self. And He bore that judgment and He endured the wrath and the punishment of His Father against that sin and satisfied the divine justice of God. Why? So you and I could be forgiven. That is the message of salvation, of hope, of peace. It's the message that we need to proclaim more than we ever have. We love John 3:16, don't we? And I'm going to say something here, whether you want to believe it or agree with it, that's fine. I'm not here to try to impose anything upon you. But you know, the gospel is the message. It is good news. But you know, sometimes we forget there's another part to the gospel, and that's the warning. Did you know there is the good news and there's the warning? John 3:16 says, for God what? So loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish. Right? Perish. If you don't believe in Him, guess what? You're going to perish. Jesus said in Luke chapter 13:3, repent or perish. You see, God loves us so much, not only did He tell us the good news of how to be saved, but He warned us ahead of time, if you don't, here's what's going to happen to you. God's warning is an act of love. Bible says He's what? He doesn't want any to perish. He wants all to come to repentance. And so we need to let the world know, hey, it is the good news. And the good news is Jesus did for you what you couldn't do for yourself. And what you needed to do for yourself that you couldn't do, Jesus did it for you. That's the good news. But we also need to make them aware that if they reject that, that's not the end of the story. The end of the story will be a devil's hell waiting. Condemnation. Penalty of sin is death. Isn't it wonderful to be able to tell somebody you can have a real future? You can have real hope. You can have eternal life. You can have the forgiveness of all your sins. You can have that banner of condemnation taken off your life. But if you don't, here's what you will face. A judgment is coming, folks, isn't it? We can't lose sight of that. We can't lose our fear of the Lord in favor of what the world is telling us to do or not to do. The message is too important, isn't it? You ever go to a cemetery? I'm sure you have. On every headstone, a person's grave, there's a date, right? First date is the birth date. Then the other date is the death date, and there's this little dash in between the two. That's where we're at right now, the dash. We've all been born. We're all going to die. But until that happens, we have that little dash of time. That's why we need to take advantage of this time. Redeeming the days for what? They're getting more evil. Matthew 24 says, you know, the love of men was going to wax cold and lawlessness will abound. Do you see that happening? Man, it's happening all over the place. That's why God's people need to understand again how important this message is. It's life-changing, life-giving. And we have to let folks know the true story, the full message, and not just sell them on half of it. I will say this, and you may not agree with me on this. Did you know, now listen to me carefully so you don't misunderstand me. Did you know that this church, and you as a Christian here, if you're a Christian here today, you owe something to this world? I don't owe the world anything. Yes, you do. You know what you owe the world? The testimony of your salvation. How are people going to know what it means to be a Christian if someone's not talking to them about it? We owe the world the message of salvation. We owe that to take it into the world and let others know. And I think it's more time right now, we're in the time for God's people to stop talking about things that really don't matter and start talking about that which is most important, the good news. I've met people who've been in church for years. They can give you every statistic of West Virginia football and basketball from 50 years back. But if I would say to them, how can I be saved? They have no idea what to say. That's sad, isn't it? Now, I'm not saying you can't talk about other stuff, but I'm saying you better make sure you're talking about what's most important more than about things that are less important. Right? We need to get that, I think, back on track as a Christian. You know, if you're saved, you need to tell folks how to be saved and why you're saved. And I think that is so important. And let me just throw this out real quick. Mark mentioned it in his prayer, I think, about, you know, work and stuff. Listen, don't go to work as a Christian and act like the devil and expect folks want to listen to you about Jesus. As he said, they're watching you. You better make sure when you go to work, you're ready to meet the world, knowing that he's your master and how important that message is. And you live it out before those before you. You won't be perfect. You know, the best thing you can do as a Christian at work, if you make a mess of things, you go back and ask for forgiveness. You go back and say, hey, I messed up. Would you forgive me? Rather than acting like it's their fault or too bad, too sad thing. That's why the message is important. We need to get back to that. Because here's the deal. Your work, perhaps for some of you, is the greatest mission field you'll be in for many years. Because most of the time you spend as much or more time at work than you do with your family. Because at least 8 hours, maybe at night, you're in bed asleep. So think about, why did God put you there? That's your mission field. You go forth. The fields are wide unto harvest. Also, where you work, it's wide unto harvest. It's a mission field. You don't go to work for a paycheck as a Christian. You go to work for the glory of the Lord to be His witness, to tell others the good news. God will create the opportunities. We must capture those opportunities. I can't force a witness, but the Holy Spirit can give me a divine appointment, right? I don't care what the government said, you can't talk about Jesus at work. That's a bunch of nonsense. Who's given you authority to speak? Jesus has. Who's greater authority, His or the world? His. So you need to say, okay, Lord, I'm open. However you want to make this happen for me to share the message, give me that opportunity. And you know what? He will. I really believe that with all my heart. But it has to be, I've had people say, oh, pastor, they know I'm a Christian by the way I live my life. That's how I witness by my actions. Good for you. That's great. I commend you for that. But that's not enough. To share the gospel, not only are you nonverbal, but you also have to be verbal. You know, I've met a lot of people who are not Christians, very nice people. And if they didn't tell me any different, I would think maybe they're Christians. Sometimes they're better to you than Christian people are, you know. But we got to not only be nonverbal, we got to verbalize it too. We got to tell them. Amen, correct? Well, anyway, he says we're to go into this world. He said in Acts 1:8, you're to be my witnesses, right? Everywhere. Matthew 28:19, he says, go ye therefore into the world. You know what that all means is this. Let me just boil it down real quick and I'll move on. When you get up in the morning, put your shoes on, take a step out of bed and start walking through the house, guess what? You're to be a witness. Maybe some of your family's not saved. Maybe your husband or your wife, your kids. That's everywhere that the soles of your shoes hit ground that day, that is where you're to be a witness. Right? When you walk through your day, wherever the soles of your feet hit as a Christian, you're on mission with God. To what? Be His witness. He didn't say you can do this if you want to or not. No, He said you shall be. That's a command. It's an imperative. You do this, you never stop doing it, and you'll do it until Jesus returns. Go ye therefore. What that means, as you go through life every day, there's where you meet people to talk to them about the Lord Jesus. Not just sometimes. Folks, it's easy to come in here and hide behind the four walls of a church, be with each other and love each other. I'm all for that, great. But the work to be done is out there. We come here to fellowship and to be edified and to praise and worship, to be prepared. But the work is out there. So anywhere the soles of your shoes hit on any given day, as you go through your house, as you walk down your driveway, as you get in the car, you go to work, walk out, wherever it's at, Walmart, doctor's office, wherever you're at, wherever the soles of your shoes is a Christian, that's where you're to what? Be His witness. And make sure you're doing that because the message is so important. I hope you haven't grown stale in that as a Christian. You have. God's Holy Spirit. Listen, I don't try to do the work of the Holy Spirit because I don't make a very good Holy Spirit. He can do okay by Himself. Amen. And if He's convicted you, then it's your part to respond. We need to make sure that we understand. Listen, the only reason you and I are involved in this wonderful message is because of one word, grace. Grace. Did you know the most hateful thing you can do to a person? Now listen, most hateful thing you can do to a person is never talk to them about Jesus. Do you know the most loving thing you can do to a person is to share the gospel. Let them know how much God loves them and what Christ has done for them. Share His deeds. Now, folks, we're living in a world right now that people say, I don't want to hear that. How many of us have bought into the lie of Satan? Nobody out there wants to hear it. Listen, that's not true. There's people hungering for an answer. We have the answer. And we got to let them know the answer. They may not like it. They may not receive it. They may reject it. But if we don't tell them, we're not showing love, are we? We're showing hate to them. We need to let them know why this message is so important. And then the last thing is, I've already kind of touched on, is our mission. Isaiah said, the whole world needs to know this wonderful news. The whole world needs to know your wonderful God. And that's what God said to us. Go ye therefore into the world. You know, to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. There's not a place you and I can go in this life as a believer that we're not on mission to share the message. I used to tell folks at Freedom, some of them liked it, some didn't. That's okay. You know, when you go on vacation, you don't stop being a witness, do you? Everybody thinks, I'm on a vacation to get away from everything. You don't get away from Jesus if you go on vacation as a Christian. He goes with you. And guess what? Some of the places you go on vacation, His message is needed. I've been to some of those beaches, Virginia Beach and some of those places. In the middle of the day, people getting arrested and, you know, stuff going on. They need Jesus. We need to take that opportunity, don't we? No matter where we're at, who we're around, who we're with, we got to stand up, proclaim that wonderful message. That's the mission we're on, isn't it? What's the mission of this church? Well, that's something you all have to define with the Lord. Not just, listen, don't just talk about it. Do it. We pray about missions, we talk about missions, but we never do missions. But you're on missions of the Lord constantly. And a church needs to be aware of that as well. You see, everybody's caught up today in methods. Oh, we got to find the right method to get the gospel out. Oh, we got to find the right method on how to do missions. Phooey! Don't look for some method. Look to the Master. He'll tell you His message and He'll guide you in your mission. I don't care what method you use. A lot of times people talk more about the method and they never get anything done. Same way with worship. The worship wars that have taken place in church over the last few years. How sad that's been to me. Where we got to have a certain method to worship. They spend all their time on a method and they never worship. Y'all seen that happen? What I'm saying is we're on mission. The most important mission, Paul said, for me to live is Christ now. Paul said, my mission in life is to let Christ be known around anyone I'm at, through me, in me, how I speak, how I act, whatever it is. Folks, we do not fail when we share Christ with somebody and they reject us, reject God. We don't fail, do we? We fail if we don't tell them. We fail if we don't go on mission into the world every day. Think about these things. If we fail to do so, I don't think we're in close fellowship with our Master. And we surely don't understand the importance of the message if we're not going out there into the world and letting folks know about it. I don't know about you, but I'm really concerned about our world right now. Well, it's not our world, it's God's world, but we're in it and we're facing this stuff. And I tell you, it's a mess. And I don't try to be pessimistic. I try to be a realist. I simply see what's there and try to understand it from God's perspective. It's there. You're in it. I'm in it. But we can't forget these things that I just talked about as we're trying to deal with all that mess out there. Folks, the issue is not to live stress-free. You'll never live a stress-free life. Because stress is a part of life. The doctor back here probably tell you that. But we can learn to live a less stressed life. That's what we need to learn to do. Because if we get caught up with what's in this world and get consumed and overwhelmed and fearful and all that stuff, then we're going to forget these things I just talked about. We're going to forget how important our Master is, how important His message is, and how important our mission is as believers in this world today. Isn't it interesting that the last words Jesus spoke to His church was, "You shall be my witnesses, and to go therefore into all the world." Isn't that interesting? I always find that interesting. Why did He just say something like this? "Well, folks, I'm going back. Been nice to be with you down here for these few years. I hope that we've gained something together. And I just want you to know I love you. And I just want you to go out now and be happy. I just want you to go out and get everything you want in your life and fill your life up with all the stuff you want. And go everywhere you want to go and do everything you want. That's what I want for your life." Isn't it interesting? He didn't say that. But He said, "You shall be my witnesses. Go ye therefore into the world." Why? Because He understood what we need to remember today. All of these things are the most important things for a Christian in the church today. I'm not saying that, you know, the issue is not the things you have, but do your things have you? That's the problem. You can have things, but as your things start having you, then you've forgotten who your Master is and forgotten the importance of the message. And I guarantee you, you're no longer fulfilling the mission because your attention, time, and energy is focused on other stuff. I think we need to learn planned neglect in our Christian lives. We need to learn to plan to neglect some stuff that is not all that important that can take time away from our walk with the Lord. Right? You better not get serious about prayer. Huh? Listen, you better not get serious about prayer in this church if you don't want to change. You don't pray and ask God to do stuff if you're not willing to do what He wants you to do with your life. That's where a lot of folks are at today. I don't know what God said to you. You may have not said nothing. You may say, "I can't wait to get out of this place." I don't know. But I simply tried to share with you what God put on my heart. I don't know you. I've met you here the first time. I don't know where you're at with the Lord. That's not my business. But I promised the Lord years ago, when I go, no matter where I'm at, I'm not going to preach anything but the truth. And I always tell a church, if you don't like what I say, don't ask me to come back. It's that easy. It's that simple. You know, it really is to me. But I don't know what the Lord said to you. I don't know what He's saying to you right now. But I know this. Anytime God's people collect in a group, and there's people in this in the presence of God, you're not here in a building, you're in the presence of the Lord. I know God has said something to somebody. What is it that you may need to do in regards to what God has said? And the elders are going to come and offer that opportunity, and you do. So God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Jim.
You're welcome.
You'll definitely be back. So. everybody got one of these for community.